Hey, welcome back. It's time for us to take a peek behind the kitchen doors. We all know what's happening out front, but what's happening in the back of the kitchen? The man who's been back in that kitchen many years, teaching other people, bringing them along, training them what to do in the back of the kitchen, is Chef Pascal. Welcome, sir.
Hey, thank you, Paul, for our producer. And, actually, he became a friend, and I was shocked that when I read his resume, he worked for me for 15 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I know. So we're going to learn, how did he make it to stay with me
how?
For 15 years?
And did he work in just one of your properties? You had a bunch of them.
No, actually, he did both. He did some in the front of the house and some in the back. And then he started on Bristol with my épicerie, café, and then work at the crêperie. He was a very good crepe maker. And he worked in another little cafe that I had in Irvine. And I guess I keep him around because he probably was good enough to stay. He's going to tell you.
Tell us his name.
His name, actually, we call him Rad, okay? Oh. But it's Radwan, that's Radwan, his first name, and Taboubi.
Let's get him to lean up closer, bring the mic closer to him here.
Radwan Taboubi.
Radwan Taboubi, good Irish name.
Sure. Yeah. From South Irish, yeah.
So where are you from? Obviously, I detect an accent.
I'm from Tunisia.
Tunisia, okay, all right.
Yeah, but I speak French fluent.
Yes.
I was a good student, so I speak French very
fluent. His French is almost better than his English.
No, for sure.
So how did you meet Chef Pascal and start working for him?
I was working at this bakery called Cécimon, whatever. And then I came to Chef Pascal. I said, I'm looking for a job. He told me, okay, just make sure, you come well-dressed, clean, and take care of my customers. I don't want to hear anything except take care of my customers, food consistent. Everything has to go the way I want it every day.
Did he ask you to cook something?
No, he have his... I used to cook on the crêperie.
Yes.
I used to make the crepes on Saturday, Sunday.
Ah, okay.
And the weekdays, I work at the épicerie. And when we get busy, I work at Tradition Pascal.
Yes.
Very fine dining.
Yeah.
But Chef Pascal, when he comes in the kitchen, first he started looking like
come on, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. What goes on?
I'm serious.
Is he a dictator? Is he a difficult?
No. When he sees something, let's see. I'll tell you one story.
Okay, that's what we came. That's what we brought you here for, Chef. You can leave. We're going to tell
stories. They threw the half and half. The milk half and half for the coffee. And it was like maybe 2 inches left in the trash. And he took it, and he almost fired the chef that day because of that. He told him, this is money.
Yeah.
Is true. And cleaning. Everything has to be shining there.
Even in the back, come on. Nobody's in the back of the kitchen.
Believe me, Chef Pascal... as soon he get in, everything has to be shining, and when they leave the kitchen, they have to leave it punctual, like spot, And then when we work at Tradition Pascal, it's a very, very fine dining restaurant.
Right.
And the tables, we have the wine glass and water glass. And they have to be, lined up.
Oh, come on. Who cares if they're lined up?
Yeah. And then the every table has the light almost close to the table. And he comes and he pick up the glass and he look at to the light, if there is any lipsticks, if it's not
red, a spot or something.
Oh, if something like that, that's it. We're in trouble. You know?
You know, yeah, we're in trouble once.
Yes, I was in trouble once.
He got in trouble once. Okay, tell how you got in trouble. What'd you do?
Usually we wear black, you know?
Yeah.
So that day, I wear purple shirt. He walked in. He looked at me, told me, come to the office. I said, oh, my God.
What'd I do?
I'm in trouble. He told me, what did I tell you? Black. I said, chef, but, you know, my wife, she didn't wash the...
Yes.
He told me, do you know the word called discipline? I said, yes. He told me, discipline.
Wow.
You know?
Chef, what do you care what they wear in the back? Could be purple. Could be
no,
black.
No, it was in the front.
Oh, in the front of the house. Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, and but he comes, he... You know, he's really good with customers, with us too, you know. He makes his cappuccino or whatever it is. And even if we're busy, he starts making drinks sometimes. But he was, I never heard him say any bad word.
Really?
Never.
Because we watch all these TV shows and I say lots of bad words.
No, my English is limited.
Oh, that's
no,
true.
ever.
That's the problem, okay.
But when he sees vocabulary. Something wrong, before he, when he's making, one time we had, it was Christmas Eve, and we have turnover on Tradition Pascal, so we have a lot of customers coming.
On Christmas and Eve?
Okay. On Christmas Eve. So he said, guys, make sure, you know, because he make menu sometimes 3 courses, 4 courses, 5 courses, like 2-3 appetizer, blah, blah. And then, but when we bring the dishes, we have to scrub whatever left over.
Mm-hmm.
Because he respects the dishwasher as much as he respects his manager.
Wow. The dishwasher is as important as the manager.
Yeah. So me, I tried to make the job quicker, and he was making one dish. Was, I don't know, filet mignon or duck. It was the
duck breast.
Yeah. And he was looking, and me, I put the plate... And I want to run away to go clean. He's like, Rod, clean the dishes. I say, how did he see me?
How did he even see it? He sees everything. He
sees everything. Swear. You know?
Yeah. So what did you see in Rod that made you hire him? Because
I was listening, and I was always respect him.
Yes.
Because I respect him, especially when he's not there.
Especially when he's not there. I would think that's...
I mean, I never disrespect him, but I'm always on time, never dis show up from work, and never come up with a half flat tire or half day, blah, blah, blah.
Excuse, right.
You know? And Saturday, Sunday, I do the crepes at Sherman Garden in Corona del Mar. I come, I take, make everything, and then I bring him back, and... I go to my other job, and he always appreciate. He always tell me, thank you, Rod.
So what was your background in Tunisia? Did you learn to cook as a kid? Did you come over here looking to be a chef?
No, I learned cooking from him. Oh, I had a bachelor's degree in math, and I went to university to become a doctor. I studied 2 years.
Really? Wow.
And then I came to Chicago, and I started as a dishwasher.
Oh, my goodness. Quite a change from doctor to dishwasher.
From dishwasher, you know, I started working busboy. But when I moved here and I worked with Chef Pascal, it was a blast because Chef Pascal, he worked for Paul Bocuse.
Yes, we've talked about that. Well, someday we'll talk more about that famous chef.
Yeah. So... I knew I'm going to learn from him, you know. But me, I'm not stupid. If you tell me, don't put this here, I don't put it anymore.
Well, not. It sounds like you had a serious background. I got to ask, what made you give up your dream to be a doctor and go to Chicago and be a dishwasher? Was it
because it's Tunisia, poor country. We didn't have enough money to pay for the university. Then I come here,
especially at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
I guess, you know, especially when at the time he was working in front of the house, he could get some good tips, you know.
Yeah.
Because you want your good employees, a good server or a good method, you make more money, you know.
Yeah.
And so if he makes money, I make money.
Yeah. You know?
That's
right.
Very important.
And he teaches us how to serve and how to be nice to customers. And he comes, he goes out, and he go table, but how is everything? Everything's good.
Boy.
Yes, everything's good, thank you. He told us how to serve from the right, you clean from the left.
Mm.
If someone order a bottle of wine, first of all, you show it to whoever ordered the bottle of wine, and he tastes it, if he like it, you start with the lady, and the other person, and you serve whoever ordered is the last person.
The last person.
And we always have to have the white towel.
Yeah.
And every time we have to, so it doesn't drop in people. And when you pour wine or make martini, you have to leave at least 1 or 2 inch, because if it's full, and they drink, they're going to spill it in their self.
Absolutely.
All these tricks, some people, they don't even keep it.
So, but Chef, let's
every single thing he said,
you know,
I keep it in my head.
If you have watched The Bear, and
yes,
The Bear, they wanted to become a more of a Michelin star style of restaurant, but they have to go to these places in New York City to learn, and they learn the hard way, but the good way. And that's what happened there.
Is that a lost art? Because I go out to dinner, I go to some nice places, and I'm not saying the service is bad, but I don't know that it's that precise. I don't know they always serve from the left and clean from the right. I don't know that they...
No, we serve from the other
whatever.
Way. Serve from the right.
You're fired.
I'm fired. I'm out already.
Yes, and
I don't,
clean from the left.
I don't know... I've been places like that, mostly a long time ago. I don't know if that's still important to restaurants.
No, that's for
lost?
The fine dining. Let's see, we are 4 people sitting in the table, and we order appetizers. You don't clean, let's see, 2 people finish and the others still eating.
Right.
Don't clean until everybody finish.
Mm. Because many times they start pulling stuff away,
yeah,
you're still eating.
It's rude. Very
yeah,
rude.
I think so.
Yeah, that's.
Or
that's
I go the
opposite.
They come out to give you dessert, and the stuff's all over the table.
Yeah.
And I, my fetish is clean the table first. Then we can talk about the last course.
And put the next silverware, you know, already.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Next course, you know.
But is that? Am I missing something? Do we still have that training and tradition?
I don't think there's many places.
No,
like that.
Not really. Now they work like a machine. Before, at the Tradition Pascal, the plates we have, you know, the fork and knife, and even the dessert spoon, it's on the top of the plate.
Right.
The plate. So when they finish, we take the plate and that spoon, we have to put it all the way to the right.
Mm-hmm. You move the spoon for them, yeah.
Yes, we move the spoon for them. And the plates, when he serves us the main course to take it, we have to have a towel because he leaves the plates in the oven hot. So the food, when it gets to the customer, doesn't cool down between the kitchen and the table.
Such precision.
Wow, man,
it's amazing how much of this
hire you
matters.
Again.
Yeah, I should hire him again.
I never forget that.
Yeah.
Another thing that's missing is most of the servers today aren't professionals, meaning they're college kids, they're part-time actors, or there's something, they're passing through.
And the problem is, another problem with the new world, new generation, they complain about customers.
Mm.
And the customers, that's the those people keep the door open. If you complain, if the customer lives happy, he probably tell 10 people.
Yeah, right. And
but if he lives mad, he tell 100 people.
Yes, always. Always.
You know?
I remember years ago meeting a guy whose father was a professional waiter at a fine restaurant somewhere back in the Midwest. And he said, now that would be shameful if your dad was a professional waiter. But then it was a career, and you could make good money, and you worked at fine restaurants, and you learned how to serve, and you learned how to take care of customers, and they took care of you.
Yeah, I would not say there's no good service, but service shift from being a ticket on the way we train servers to more of a just relationship, you know. So if you talk to the guests and make them happy, they kind of forget the mistakes.
Yes.
You
know? Or and I don't think they even notice. I don't think they expect that kind of precision service. They don't expect the fork or the spoon to be moved and all this kind of thing. I remember years. I'll never forget. I wish I could remember the restaurant. It was someplace up in Santa Monica or around there. And it was a really fine dining restaurant. I went out. This is 40 years ago. When I was up in Hollywood, and there was a waiter. He was a little bit older, and I've never had such service in my life. Everything, before I even asked, the water was full. Before I even thought of something, he removed something. He just silently was working around me the whole time. I never really noticed him, except I noticed every time I started to look up and say, oh, can we get some more bread? It was already there.
You see, 40 years later, you remember.
I'll never forget that. It was the most... And I tipped the biggest tip. I think I tipped him 50% or some crazy thing, just because I was so impressed. It was a very fine dining restaurant, and I'd never had that kind of experience.
And one more thing, he taught me. I don't know other people if they. First, when he comes, he goes to the bathroom.
Oh, I love him already here. I used to do the same thing.
Because when the bathroom is dirty, people that think how if the bathroom is dirty, how is the kitchen?
I thought I was. I had a bar.
He goes straight. If he see anything in the bathroom, we're in trouble.
I had a bar for 10 years, a sports bar. Who cares, right? Beer and hamburgers and pool tables and stuff. Big bar. I always went to the bathroom first when I walked in. Because particularly women, if the women don't like the bathroom, they're not coming back. I don't care how much the food, how fun the place is. If it's dirty in the bathroom, and bathrooms are always dirty if you let them be. So if the bathroom's out of toilet paper, out of towels, or they're stuffed and they're overflowing, it just drives me crazy. And I can't tell you the number of really nice restaurants I go to where I go into the bathroom and it's a disaster.
Because nobody checks.
Nobody checks. They're too busy out.
And so I always had one employee. That's his or her first job was to check the bathroom.
Check
before
the bathroom.
Anything.
I knew I loved Pascal.
And Chef Pascal, he comes and check after.
Yeah.
And food has to be go hot, nice, everything punctual. Not four people, they have four dishes. You serve three, and the other one is coming after 10 minutes. No.
How do you...
And when... Okay, let's see, you have a steak, two steak, fish, and chicken. There is a different temperature.
Oh, clearly, yeah.
Yeah, so he teach them. He said, listen, before you fire the filet mignon... I mean, the fish, you have to start with the filet mignon. When you see almost ready, then you put the fish. So everything goes at the same time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's a science.
It is a science. It is an art. Yeah. It's a precision. Yeah. And when I've seen it a few times, that one time in particular, and it's marvelous. You feel royal. You feel like you're royalty. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're a king or a queen, you know.
But also for us... servers, maitre d', cook, chef, owner, it's a satisfaction to make sure you deliver what the client expects. Mm-hmm. And they love you for that, and they come back.
Yes. Even if they don't know, they appreciate it, because somehow you're taking care of them in a way that they...
I've seen Chef Pascal. Some things he never told me, but I've seen him. I'm not idiot. He comes. After he makes his tune, he goes to the kitchen, and he starts tasting.
Mm-hmm.
This needs a little bit more salt. This. I said, whoa. I said, I'm glad I don't work in the kitchen.
Now, how many fine, again, we were talking about this before, how many fine dining restaurants, they say, we're featuring the cuisine of Michelin star chef so-and-so. Somebody got a Michelin star. They're then hired as a consultant or to put their name, design the menu or whatever, but they never come to the restaurant. They're not even there. So how, who, in these chains, in these multiple restaurant groups, who takes that responsibility to make sure everything is perfect? The flowers are arranged.
Yes.
The plates are right. The glass is perfectly clean, all that kind of stuff.
That's the trouble now.
Yeah.
Because you have these... star chef, who some are real stars,
right.
Some want to be stars,
right.
And they want to be seen as stars, and but all you see is their name on the menu,
right,
and, or on front in a neon sign. So, and also, fortunately, I had the best training of a culinary college. Front of the house, food and beverage manager. I was also a bartender for some time.
Right.
I was a sommelier
right.
sometime. And then server, and then I work in kitchen and doing catering. I did all this part of the hospitality. And so it's a luggage. And
luggage you carry with you.
Yeah.
All right, so I just, again, if I went to, I'm not going to pick on any baseball. I'm going to go up to Beverly Hills. I'm going to go to some really nice places. I'm going to go to some fancy hotels, the resorts and stuff.
Nearby. Okay, I was in Gordon Ramsay in Paris Casino in Las Vegas. His restaurant remind me yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gordon, if you're listening. Good thing.
Yeah. You know, topless, agree. Clean, everything. They come, but I think it's all come from training.
Sure.
You train, like me, when I hire somebody at the Pando, whatever, you know, I said, okay, we have drinks, you know, latte, cappuccino, blah, blah. Don't try to learn everything in one day because you're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
One by one. Make it right, move to the second one.
Can I give you another take on that? Everybody respects what the boss inspects. So if the boss is a fanatic about clean bathrooms, then everybody's going to pay attention to it. If he never goes in the bathroom, nobody's going to pay attention.
Nobody.
It starts with the top.
Of course. Well, certainly.
People. Do what you want. People follow your example. So you can't just say, here's the menu and here's the things and here's how I want you to serve and here's how I want to do it. If you don't yourself inspect that.
I think one day he told me one word. He told me, if you lean, you can clean. You lean, you can clean. So, not because I'm not here, everybody is leaning down and this. So when I go like this, I don't want to see dust.
Yeah. But you know? But you now you hit another one of my hot buttons when I had a bar and restaurant. And again, this is not fine dining. This is neighborhood sport bar.
Right. Yeah.
But we were kind of an upscale one. We were bigger one than most of them. And I always went crazy because I could never get the staff, the servers, or the busboys, or the bartenders to ever look up or down or left or right. They just looked at the customer. So I'm looking at Chef Pascal right now. You look right at the customer. Somebody over here is knocking over something. Somebody over here is having a fight. Somebody here has dropped something on the floor. And I said, didn't you ever look down or up? No, they walk right through.
You know, I learned something from me as well. Mm-hmm. When you go, you know, most of the time, restaurants have sections.
Yeah, okay? Sure.
So you're in charge of a section.
Right.
Me, I'm in charge of all the sections.
Right.
But if you're in charge of your section, you don't need two eyes. One eye, you see where everybody is on the courses, on dinner, who needs what, you know, and then...
But you got to keep your head moving. All the time. You're looking up, down, left, right. All the time you're moving.
There is no time to
stop. It's systematic. Your eyes just go on.
Right.
Look. And so you don't miss anything.
Right.
Because if not, so, some clients just wave at you. Yeah,
absolutely.
I hate that.
And I've done that. I'm sitting waving wildly, and because they're just staring ahead where they're going or who they're talking to,
so
they can't walk. They don't see out of the corner of their eye.
If I go to the day home, I see a client waving his hand, I go say, several. Do you see that client needs something?
But how do you teach?
It's a training.
It's a training, okay.
Yeah. Training. If you do it, you don't have a wonderful day. I'll have somebody else.
Here's the others.
Even like, let's see, we're working, and you go back to the kitchen, and you see table is dirty. It make your way back worth.
Yeah,
grab
right.
That plate
on the way back, exactly.
Yeah,
and bring something with you on the back in, right?
No empty trip.
Yes, right.
My father was in the transport business.
Yeah,
he always say, "No empty trip. No. You go deliver something, you bring back something."
Absolutely,
you know? Absolutely.
But
yes.
I see so many people not do that. I could take you to restaurants all around here. And here's one of the other problem. I'll ask one other question.
Believe me.
I tried to open a bar in San Bernardino, way out there. It was a disaster. And part of the problem we realized...
Where was your gun?
I didn't in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, really. But it was in downtown San Bernardino. It was an upscale place. We thought it would be a big hit. There's all this county offices there and everything. It was a disaster. And part of the disaster was that we couldn't find anybody who had any experience. They all had worked in fast food. So when they came in to apply, they didn't understand what we were asking for because they had never experienced it.
Yeah.
They didn't know what we wanted. And we weren't asking what you're asking. That would be even farther. We just wanted good service and quick service and to keep it moving and pay attention and all the little things.
But they come back.
The customers get, but I'm just saying the staff. Staff didn't.
No, today they're horrible.
They came from working in fast food, so what do they know?
But I got a reputation to be tough, but I was never rude.
No, good. Never rude. Good. And when we finish, even busy night, like Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, those are really busy nights. After finish
Valentine's Day,
Valentine's Day. That's the worst day. You know, two, and then after we finish, we're done. You know, he comes and he tell us, "Oh, thank you guys, thank you very much, good job, thank you, have a good night, thank you." After we finish, but at the scene where we working, work is work. It's like army, boom, 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 boom. And he goes, he's in the kitchen, and then he goes outside, and he watch every section. And if he see, you know, one table, the water not full, hey, fill up the water. One time the French onion soup in the castle in the metal things. So I was taking it, and he looked at me, and I started
shaking. Oh my God! He loves that. He's just looking. He can make you shake.
You know, because I saw him. I'm grabbing. He soon looked at me and started shaking. He's like, "Put it down. Put it down."
Yeah, please.
So I put it down, Michel. Take the soup.
Well, one of your other guests said, we were talking about really fine dining. I forgot who was in here, one of the last couple of chefs. And he said, I don't think that the it costs so much to do that kind of service. They have to have so much staff.
I don't think so.
The customers won't pay for it anymore. Real fine dining.
Service is service. Good service is good service.
If you have a master like Chef Pascal and he train you well, believe me, instead you need five people, you need only two people for one, two for every section.
I will say this. We were mostly a bar, Kelly McHugh's, in Mission Viejo. We're a pretty big bar, 6,000 square feet.
Wow.
And so this was not just a hole in the wall. And we had pool tables and everything. It was a big deal. On a busy night, our bar staff was different. Our bar staff behind them, maybe it's because we were mostly a bar, they could serve so many people and serve it well, and nobody's waiting, and nobody's waving their hand, and they're cleaning as they're going, and it's just, it was a machine. We could crank out a lot of alcohol in a short period of time, and everybody, and where they're fun and they're having a ball with it, and it was a show behind the bar. We couldn't get the same kind of service for the food.
Yeah.
The food was maybe because customers weren't expecting fine dining.
Did they clean up the shelf under the bar? Because you know, when I sit at a bar, that's one of the reasons I usually sit at the bar.
I do too.
I just want to look if it's clean behind the bar.
Good point. Well, cleaning is a key thing. We've watched this, what are these TV shows, Disaster, Hell Kitchens or something, you walk in and it's a rat's nest back there.
The floor sink, you know.
Why the health department, when they come...
You got to get you sit up to the mic there.
They know the spots they look for.
We got to get you into the mic there.
They go to the spot they look for, the health department. Because you can see the
thing. I always agree with the health department. If we did something wrong, we fix it.
Yeah.
Right away. Hell Kitchen, I was watching one time a show with Chef Ramsay, and he told the they were blue or red, whatever it is, set up the table. The plate, they put it, there are four people, has to be four plates. It was over like this.
Hanging over the table, yeah.
And he go like this, he told you guys out.
Yeah.
You know?
You remember? So where do we put the plate? I teach you that.
Yeah.
Where do we put it?
Where do you put the plate on the table?
No, we have the thing we put it.
No.
When you put it on the table. It. Yeah. Where do you put the plate? Is there a position?
Not close to the customer. Yeah.
You have to be able to put your hand through and make sure not touch the plate.
Yes.
Very important. Yeah. So the main thing.
Sorry, I don't know how to turn this one off here. There we go.
The main thing, Ray just talked a lot about me, but also about his experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's trying, because it's not easy. He's trying to be like me, because now he's a floor manager at Panda, bakery, pâtisserie. Also, they make crepes and some food as well.
Where is this? What's the name of this place?
There's three places, I think.
Where do you cook now? Where do you serve?
It's a Pandora. The first one, Newport Beach, is the one I'm managing now. And we have two in Irvine, and they're opening one in Dana Point.
And what's the name of the restaurant?
Pandora, Pandor.
Okay, and what kind of food?
It's a French there's breakfast, quiches, sandwiches, panini, croissant, bread.
So you're the manager there.
Yeah. But all my experience I learned from Chef Pascal.
And you can see when he works, he's there.
Yeah.
And I also, he liked to talk to the community. Customers that come back just to see him as well.
Right.
So
as soon as I get in, 6 in the morning, I start from see under the table, see if they didn't clean good. This first is cleaning.
Cleaning comes first.
It's from him, from Chef Pascal. And then I go to the bathroom first. Then I go to the kitchen, and see if they cover, because when you close, you have to cover all the food. Otherwise, in the morning you find it not good, you know? But I usually, I go off on them, like, Chef Pascal, when it comes to work, there is no...
two ways about it.
Did you ever tell me that, you know, there was like a little under the radar, somebody say, the chef is coming, the chef is here.
When we see his Mercedes walking, coming to the parking lot,
everybody's got to
we run up. Like, you know, like in the army, everybody takes
oh my God, he's coming.
Yeah. You know, Pascal's here, everybody has to do something.
So and when you manage these, now you get a couple of them, you're managing these restaurants.
I manage Marrakesh and I manage Pandoor after I work for Pascal.
So how does your team, your staff, react to
my staff, if I don't keep up with them, they're lazy. You have to keep up. Like he was,
to repeat the same thing again and
exactly.
again.
Exactly.
That's what I was hoping you'd say, because here's my point. You said even you appreciated him even when he wasn't there. You did these things even when he wasn't looking. That, to me, is a sign of a great trained staff. Totally. When nobody's watching, they still do it.
Yeah.
And they do it because they have a pride. Not because they're going to get caught.
But you know the reason...
I think, is different now.
But it's also, that gives you the point of make a place successful, because... if I'm there or not there, still the same.
Absolutely.
It's miss to see me, but it's still
the same. But the staff doesn't always see it that way. Yeah. If you're not there, they can slack off.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because you have manager and you have just a regular worker. Because that manager, when my boss come and tell me, Chef Pascal, he comes, he said, I want to see the cappuccino machine clean. I don't want to see no dust. I want to see the door open.
Actually, I made him become a good barista.
Yeah.
I teach you how to make the perfect cappuccino.
And then when I sat next to him, I get a little bit scared. He told me, no, you do this, yes.
Temperature.
Yes, everything.
But this is my favorite. I'm going to cut you off for a second because we're running out of time here. But I've told this story a million times. I'll tell it real quickly. I had a chance to meet the great Bill Marriott many years ago. Marriott Hotels. And he used to anonymously go around and visit Marriotts all over the country. A Marriott had a certain way of doing things. And I tell you, I've experienced it where you came in and the lowest person on the staff, the pool boy, I had this happen to me once. I came in late. I went down the pool. There's nobody around. He's picking up the towels and he's ready to go home. He's probably already past time. And I looked, he stopped and came back to me. He says, do you need a towel? I thought at 11 o'clock at night, nobody would know if he just kept walking. He cared. How do you get people? It sounds like Rad cared.
He's training from top to bottom.
But how do you get them to care? It's one thing to do it when you're watching, but when you're not watching, how do you get them to still do it? It's not fear. It's caring.
Yeah. It's from your culture. You respect, you know, like I respect Chef Pascal. Because he's teaching me something I never learned.
Right.
And I knew it's going to help me one day.
Right.
Why I manage a restaurant, I have 40 people working under my hand.
Right.
And before I was just a server.
Right.
Because I learned from him. When he tell me discipline, make sure they have wear your uniform, clean it. Bathroom.
Black is black.
You know,
it's not purple.
Black is black. I never forget. But he called me to the office. He told me, come, I want to talk to you.
For two questions. Did I ever fire you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No.
All right. No, because, you know, sometimes I fire employees, but I don't
actually,
let them go.
You know what?
You get mad and say, you're out. Yeah. And then later on, you say, okay.
He get mad. It's his business. It's his money.
Right.
You know, who signed the checks at the end of the month? It's him. So I moved to San Diego for 2 years to manage a restaurant in La Jolla. Then when I came back, I went to see him. I said, Chef Pascal, I'm back. Can you hire me back? He told me you start tomorrow.
Wow. All right. Wow, tomorrow.
The vacation is over.
Well, that's good.
I said, wow, I got my job.
A good team is hard to find and to develop.
Sure.
I think too many restaurants go through turnover people all the time.
I swear, you told me you start tomorrow. What's her name? The lady work in the office.
Oh, Patty.
Patty, yes. I told him, Chef Pascal, yes, she told me he's coming right now. And then you come in. I asked him, Chef, I'm back from San Diego. I have no job. Because the restaurant closed, he told me to start tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Perry, give him his schedule. That's it. Well, Karen. Tomorrow.
When you have a good employee, you know, you...
Well, you don't get mad and say, well, you left.
Even if you don't have a spot, you just, hey.
You make one.
Yeah. And so, one question. Did you ever think of in your own place?
That was my... that was a question.
What is it? What is it?
Do you want to own your own?
Your own restaurant,
you be the owner?
Your own cafe.
You ever want to be the owner?
I thought about it, but it's too much pressure.
Yeah.
Too much.
So more pressure than having me in your back.
Yeah, too much pressure.
And money, you know? Today. The
because,
cost, yeah.
You know, especially in these days, yeah. It's too many competition.
Yeah.
Too
yeah.
many restaurants everywhere.
I agree.
You know? Before, but, at you know, at... Corona Del Mar, you remember, just crepes.
Yeah.
Non-stop. As soon as I opened the creperie, only crepes.
All day.
Hard to believe, all day for crepes?
Yeah.
Only crepes.
Yeah. Wow.
And that is the restaurant downstairs.
Yeah.
And you know, you teach, what's his name, the chef Cidro.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Now he's your pastry chef. No?
Yes. See, he's the one, he took your risk. Well,
yeah.
The quiche is so... They are killing us about the quiche.
Yeah. They're killing you.
You know?
They change them. Then they were all thick, not all bit thinner. I like those. And he's all used to
I talked to him today, he got jealous.
Now he's a corporate chef now.
Yes, he's the chef. The corporate chef, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I long for the days when everybody cared, when they cared and knew your name, and they gave you first-class service over and over and over again, as well as good food. That starts with good food. But service is the...
It is part of it.
People don't train enough in service. It's just the product.
And it become a challenge to make sure, you know, your boss is happy, your customers are happy, and... You go home, say, I did good today.
Yeah, I think that's it. To walk out, whether anybody noticed or not, I did good today.
Yeah.
But
you feel
it's
good.
With my experience from Chef Pascal, they go together. Good food and service together.
Yes,
if you miss one of them, then it's going to shake the customer. Maybe they don't come back. You can't give them... They work hard, chef in the kitchen, blah, blah. But the server, he come, he threw the plate, and the customer looking for something, but like he said, wave, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Or it doesn't come back for 10 minutes, or forget your drink, or all that stuff.
You go back. First, you serve. I mean, you take the order. Then you serve, and you go back and check, how is everything? Can he get you anything? Another thing, if customer, he didn't like this, and he said, you know what, it's cold or whatever it is, we have to go to the kitchen. I fired one chef one time because of this, because I told him, listen, I need this dish, 911, right away.
Yeah, right.
You know, he told me, no, I have 10 tickets, they have to wait. I said, they've been here. What do you mean?
Yeah.
No, I said, you know what? Get out. And I took my apron because I know how to cook. He teach me how to cook.
I jump in.
And then he got...
That's a story for another day, because I think that's another disaster. Some places use expediters, some people don't. But the idea is once you got a assembly line, you got a whole bunch of tickets you're trying to get out, and suddenly you got to stop and remake something. Usually it's at the end of the line. Or if they suddenly stop everything, then it screws up the whole system. Then 10 people are mad because you made one people. It's really hard suddenly...
But when it's one dish, you can make it quick.
Right. You should.
I call it the kitchen logistic.
Yes, right.
Because when I get a ticket in the kitchen, I'm sure you do the same thing, I call out the order.
Yes, right.
So each member of the kitchen staff has his part.
Right.
And you do the fish, he does the meat, but you need to remember what we place as an order. And then the server same say, fire. And if you fire at that point, it's too late.
Right.
You should have started already ahead of time.
So do you like the idea? I've seen back of the houses where they have an expediter, somebody who's there managing all this and making sure that it does.
Well, there's two rules. You say fire, and then the second one, you say pick up.
Right.
So you cannot pick up food if you don't fire it.
Yeah.
But sometimes in a busy restaurant, don't they have expediters? Somebody who's there?
No,
who's
they should have expediter. And the expediter who should be smart, because right. You have every ticket, you have appetizers and you have main course.
Right.
When you serve the appetizer, you mark it, it's done. So you don't leave it like that and then you said, okay, I need appetizer for, they already serve it.
Yeah.
So you have to mark it.
Right.
Then... There is, let's see, here's what you put the ticket. By the way, all this I learned from Chef Pascal. Huh?
Right.
Me, I come from Tunisia, I don't even know I was washing dishes.
They didn't do this in Tunisia.
So when you serve the appetizer, you move the ticket to the main course side.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, I've seen back of the house operations where it's chaos. And partly because the chef is focused on the dish in front of him and nobody's looking at the overall picture. Did we start this? Did they serve this? So it almost seems like you need a general. Sometimes that's the executive chef.
Do.
Yeah, right.
And if we call an order and my grill guy is supposed to grill the meat, I say you have two New York steaks to grill. Right. They should not be on the grill right away, but it should be out on the plate before to ready to be grilled.
So is that the executive chef's job in the back of the kitchen,
yes.
Or do you hire somebody like an expediter who just makes sure?
Expediter doesn't see it.
Right.
Expediter is going to call the pickup of the food.
Right. Keep the assembly line moving.
And make sure the server will take it on time.
Yes, because that's another one drives me crazy. The food sitting back there and the server.
Yeah, you can do that. Right. It's very important.
Yeah. And the chef, the Pascal, he never been mean in the kitchen or yelling or nothing. Just he tell them what to do. This, because he knows.
Right.
Even in French.
I know it's time to go, so how do we reach you to give us where you're at now if we want to come see this in action as you continue this tradition of service? Where do they go find you? Tell us again.
Pandor.
P-A-N-D-O-R. Pandor Bakery.
Can you give the address on Newport
Beach? 1126 Irvine Avenue, Newport Beach.
Okay. Irvine Avenue on 17th Street.
On 17th Street in Westcliff Plaza.
Okay. Well, we'll come check it out.
Great place.
Chef Pascal lives on. What he learned from Paul Bacuse to Chef Pascal to Rod. Tradition continues.
His legacy.
It is.
Rod learned from Chef Pascal.
And Chef Pascal learned from
my master,
Paul Bacuse and others.
Yes.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Okay.
Well, there you go. The tradition continues. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're just keeping the wheel rolling. Right here behind the kitchen doors on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation.